Our reading this morning is in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, and reading from verse 13. On the road to Emmaus. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer all these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them, assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." May God bless this reading to our hearts today. And so we come to look at this passage in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Today we're walking with Jesus on the Emmaus Road and beyond. This is the final message in this series. And we've come to a week after Easter, but this passage that we're dealing with this morning actually happened on Easter Day, later on that same day that Jesus rose from the grave. Two men are walking along. They're walking along the dusty road from Jerusalem to Emmaus, which is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. We know the name of one of them is Cleopas. They are discussing the events of the weekend, what happened on Thursday and Friday, Saturday, but then also on Sunday. And as these two men are walking along, a third man appears and starts to walk with them. The Bible tells us that they are kept from recognizing who it is because it is Jesus, the risen Jesus, is walking with them. And they're not sure who he is, and it sounds to them as if this person is a stranger, that he hasn't been in Jerusalem. He doesn't seem to know the events that have occurred. But as we go through this passage, I hope we see here things that will help us, three things in particular, that will help us in these days today that we're going through. I've chosen as the backdrop to this the painting by Caravaggio on the road to Emmaus. And you sense something of the surprise in the picture as the men discover that they are talking to Jesus as he reveals himself later when they break bread. But as we join these men. Just let's in our imagination join these men as they're walking along the road, and Jesus, who they are kept from recognizing, comes alongside them. First thing I want us to see here is that we have a pastoral situation. A pastoral situation. In verse 21, these two men say, "We had hoped that Jesus was the one who was going to redeem Israel." In those three little words, "we had hoped," there is a whole ocean of pastoral concern and confusion. You see, they, like others, had expected Jesus to be the Messiah who would come and rescue them from Roman rule. They had expected Jesus, the one who had performed incredible miracles, to take control of the situation, to become their new king. And yet he ended up being crucified and killed and buried. So there was that great disappointment within their hearts that Jesus perhaps was not the king or the Messiah that they hoped he would be. In fact, now that they were hearing that Jesus perhaps had been seen again, rather than reassuring them and helping them, it was actually confusing them more. We had hoped. They were facing into a pastoral situation. And as Jesus walks alongside them, he asks them this question, you know, "Tell me more." And that's a good thing to do. When we're in a pastoral crisis, a pastoral situation, it's good to talk it out. And that's what Jesus is getting them to do. In my own life, and in the lives of many people that I deal with and speak with in a church situation, many of us are living through pastoral situations, such as the difficult one we're in at the moment. And at the root or at the foundation of those pastoral situations, whenever you talk a little bit further, is this little phrase sometimes occurs. "We had hoped. I had hoped." There is a profound sense of disappointment, or maybe expectations that have not been met, or hopes that have not been fulfilled. "I had hoped to marry. We had hoped that my husband would not get cancer. I had hoped that I might get this job. We had hoped that we would have a baby." Many of us are facing different pastoral situations. These two men, as they were walking along the Emmaus Road, were confused by the events of the past weekend. "We had hoped. Our expectations have been dashed and crushed." And for many of us, as we live through this crisis in these weeks, perhaps we too would have said, "We had hoped that this would be over by now." Who at the end of 2019 would have thought that half the world would be in lockdown, businesses closed, unemployment figures rising, listening into the news every day and hearing about hundreds, yes, hundreds of people who are dying in hospitals and nursing homes? Who would have thought it? We keep hearing these grim statistics. And here we are in the 21st century when we feel that we are in control, where we can control disease and heal people. And as Christians, as believers indeed, perhaps we have found ourselves saying in recent days, "We had hoped. We had hoped this virus would not kill Christians. We had hoped that God would heal so-and-so. We had hoped that this crisis would be over." I must confess that as I have listened to the commentary and as people have tried to look ahead and to see what is coming, and we've seen perhaps that sports will not be going on for a while, I'm thinking, well, maybe church as we know it will not go on for a while. And that's difficult. That's hard to take. Sometimes I find myself saying, "I had hoped church will be meeting again very soon." But as the days turn into weeks and perhaps the weeks turn into months, there is that sense of disappointment. Where is God? Can he help in this situation? You see, life is full of disappointments, full of I had hoped and we had hoped. There are no shortage of difficult pastoral situations in life as we know it. In fact, whenever we look at the Bible, we find that there are many of these kind of pastoral difficulties, and indeed much worse than we are facing. Whenever I look at the Bible, I see the Apostle Paul, who for much of his time as a Christian was under house arrest. Now, we know what it's like to stay in the house for a long time. I wouldn't say it's house arrest, but that's what Paul had to face. Many of his letters written from prison or under house arrest. Or what about Jesus as he begins his ministry? He begins that ministry by going into the desert, the testing and the tempting of the devil, and fasting, and how difficult that is. Or what of John the Baptist? I must say, I think about John the Baptist often and all that he went through. Here was one whom Jesus said was the greatest born of woman. He was the forerunner of Jesus. He was the announcer of Jesus. And yet he ended up in prison. He himself had one of those I had hoped moments. And he questioned whether Jesus really was the Messiah. And of course, as we know, John the Baptist was beheaded. We don't understand these things. How come the person that God had used so much and so well to announce the coming of Jesus, he himself is beheaded? Or in the book of Hebrews, in that very famous faith chapter, chapter 11 of Hebrews, we read these things in verses 36 and following. Some who followed Jesus faced jeers and flogging. Others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were put to death by the sword, persecuted, destitute, ill-treated. Some of the pastoral situations that I am dealing with and you're dealing with pale into insignificance beside these. These two men, as they were walking along the Emmaus Road, were confused. They were hurt. They were disappointed. We had hoped. It was a pastoral situation. And Jesus comes alongside them and he speaks into this pain and into this confusion then, and he speaks into this pain and confusion today. A pastoral situation. So what does Jesus do? Well, he gives them, secondly, a prophetic word. He points them to the Word of God, and he seeks to take the eternal Word of God and apply it prophetically to the situation that they are in. And that's what he loves to do. In verse 25, he gives them a gentle admonition. How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe. Jesus was often frustrated at his disciples. People who knew the scriptures a bit, who should have known better, who should have known the plans of God in terms of the Messiah. And so in answer to this particular pastoral situation, Jesus takes them through a Bible study. Now you may say, well, that's a very unusual way to deal with a pastoral situation. And yet time after time, that's what Jesus does. He takes them to the Word of God, which for these guys would have been the Old Testament. He takes them through the law and the prophets and the writings. And the writings begin with the Psalms. Imagine being led in a Bible study by Jesus. Imagine your life group leader being the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is exactly what we have here. He takes these two men through the scriptures. He gives them the highlights. You know, he says there in the law, as you read about that, that's speaking about Jesus. Or in the Psalms, as you read that verse, that is speaking about Jesus, about the Messiah. Or what about this verse here? That is speaking about how the Messiah would die, how he would suffer, and how he would rise again. Jesus keeps pointing us to the eternal Word. The grass withers. The flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. He takes the Word of God and he applies it to the world of men and women. This life has fallen. We will keep encountering pastoral situations of despair and deep disappointment with God. And we need to keep coming back to God's Word. This is what Jesus does. He keeps bringing us back to an eternal perspective. He keeps coming back to this eternal Word. And so what we are doing today is important. It's important, even when church can't meet, that we get our Bibles open, that we look into them, that we hear the Bible being preached, that each day we have our daily quiet time, our time of prayer and reading through God's Word, because it gives us perspective whenever we're going through difficult times such as these. And we get the big picture. We see what God is perhaps doing. We get the long view. And that's what this man, Jesus, although again, still they didn't know it was Jesus, that's what he was doing for these two men as they were walking along this road to Emmaus. Later, after Jesus has revealed himself to them, they say in verse 32, "Were not our hearts burning within us when he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" If you're a believer, whenever you come to God's Word to read it, there should be something of a burning heart experience as the Word and the Spirit combine in your heart to reveal God's truth to you in this situation. God's prophetic Word, God's eternal Word, is for us at all times, in all days, in all experiences and circumstances. So Jesus here speaks God's ancient word into our today moment. So here we see a pastoral situation. We see God's prophetic word applied to that situation, and that's something we must keep doing. And thirdly and finally, we see the presence of Jesus. Jesus is risen as he breaks the bread, as he's with them around the table. Their eyes are opened. Their hearts are enlightened. They see that this is the risen Jesus who is with them, who has been with them all the time. And in verse 29, they say, "Stay with us." And I'm sure after they recognized who Jesus was, they really wanted him to stay with them. I'm reminded also earlier in the morning, whenever Jesus rose and Mary encountered Jesus, thinking he was the gardener at first, but then there was this desire for her to hold on to him, and Jesus says, "Don't hold on to me. I have to return to the Father." We always have this desire to hold on to Jesus, to his visible presence, and yet here Jesus is reassuring us. Yes, he's saying, "I must leave you, but I'm leaving my Holy Spirit. And he will be with you. In fact, he will be within you." Jesus' presence is with us. We may not see him. He is an invisible presence, but he is walking with us. He's walking alongside us, just as he walked alongside those two disciples long ago. Jesus is walking with you. He's with you today. No matter what you face, no matter what pastoral situation you're going through, Jesus is with you. He is with me. We walk by faith and not by sight. As we close this series of walking with Jesus, we close with this thought: Jesus is walking with us. We see the big picture. We see the long view. We see the fact that he has given us his Holy Spirit. Can I encourage you to invite the Lord Jesus Christ into your life, if you have not done that already? To open your life to him, to invite the Holy Spirit and Jesus to come in and dwell in your heart, so that as we walk through this difficult life, with all that it throws at us, we know that Jesus is with us. He is the resurrection and the life. And he is preparing somewhere and something even greater for us, a new heaven, a new earth, and we will be with him. walking with Jesus on the road to Emmaus and beyond. May God bless his word to us in these days. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we again thank you for your eternal word. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Help us to keep trusting in this word and the word made flesh, Jesus Christ, who lived amongst us, who was crucified, dead, buried, but today raised to the right hand of God the Father. We thank you, Jesus, that you walk with us. Help us to follow you, to obey you. In your name we pray. Amen.